1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 18 is where we pick up our study today. And Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not sure if I said that backwards. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 18. I might have said 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 26. Whatever. We're in chapter 26, verse 18. And David, as it were, has come almost face to face with Saul. He had a golden opportunity to kill the king, and he proved it. And now he is calling to the king from some distance and asking him, why in the world are you chasing me? Why don't you just, you know, give it up? I haven't done anything to hurt you. What's the point? And I could have hurt you back, but I haven't. So let's pick it up in verse 18. And it says, and he, that is David, said, wherefore does my Lord, speaking of Saul, thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in my hand? You know, give me the evidence, Saul, that hard evidence, that I have tried to hurt you in any way. 19, now therefore I pray you, let my Lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. David cannot be in Jerusalem. He cannot be in the temple worshiping God, and that bothers him. And it's all because some liars have stirred up Saul's hatred toward him, putting thoughts in his mind. But of course, I think most of those thoughts came from Saul himself, because he was a paranoid, selfish man who knew that David was chosen by God to replace him as king. And that's because of Saul's own disobedience. But David says, let's let this thing end. If I'm guilty, I'm guilty. You know, if God has told you to chase after me, that's fine. I get it. But if he hasn't, then, you know, let's get this thing settled. He's tired of being chased around like a wild animal. 20, now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one does hunt a partridge in the mountains. And so he's saying, let not my blood fall to the earth away from God's presence. And he's saying, don't chase me down like a wild animal, like a dog, outside the boundaries of Israel. This is ridiculous. Verse 21, then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do you harm, because my soul was precious in your eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. Saul says, I'll never do it again. You're right, David. I'm wrong. I'll never do it again. I promise. Of course, he's heard that before. Verse 22. And David answered and said, behold, the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and bring it. And David took that spear from Saul while Saul was sleeping. And that's what Saul was talking about. And he said, you spared my life. And he did. He could have killed him. Now, to any man with half a brain, that proves that David's not after Saul. But again, that was just a figment of his imagination anyway. The real issue is that Saul is rebelling against God. Saul lost the Holy Spirit because he turned his back on God. And David is his replacement, and he's jealous. Verse 23. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord deliver you into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. And so he's saying, may God bless me for my faithfulness to him and not taking you out when I could have. 24, and behold, as your life was much set by this day in my eyes, in other words, it was valued in my eyes today, so let my life be much valued in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. So David is saying, Lord, it's a prayer. Lord, I've spared someone who hated me without a cause. I've been good to him. Now, please be good to me. Please spare me and protect me. Verse 25, then Saul said to David, blessed be you, my son David. You shall both do great things and also shall still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Saul admits, David's going to live and God's going to prosper him. And they go their separate ways at this point anyway. I'm sure David is still leery about the whole thing. Chapter 27, verse 1. And David said in his heart, here we go, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in the coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. So in spite of Saul's nice words, oh, I'm sorry, David. I'll never do it again, David. You're right, David. I'm wrong, David. All that garbage. David knew Saul well enough to know that he was a liar whenever it suit his sinful purposes. So best thing he can do, he figures, is get out of the country as far as he can. Go down to the land of Philistines. Saul won't chase him down there. Verse 2. And David arose, and he passed over with 600 men that were with him to Achish, the son of Maach, king of Gath. It seemed like a good idea for David to leave the country. There's this one problem. God never told him to leave. David, the great man of faith, jumps out of God's will because he is afraid and because he's sick of the way things are. You know, fear is one of the greatest devices Satan uses to get people to jump out of the will of God. No wonder the Bible says the fear of man is a snare. Verse 3. And David dwelled with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And I guess this is an improvement over the way things have been. At least David and his men are reunited with their families, which is nice. They're not home in Israel, but they are with their families. If you can be around people, the people that you love, you are fortunate. You may not have everything else you want, but if you have God and loved ones, you have the most important things. Verse 4, and it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. He drove, in essence, drove David out of the country. And so David, he figures, will not be able to steal any attention or glory away from him anymore, since he's no longer around. Being gone, I suppose, is almost as good as being dead as far as Saul is concerned. You know, I mean, if Saul's getting comfort from the fact that David is no longer there, he is very short-sighted because he's still in big trouble with God. And that comfort is a counterfeit comfort. The only comfort that matters is the one that comes to us when we are right with God through Jesus Christ. And this is something that Saul did not have. Verse 5. And David said to Achish, if I have found grace in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you? David didn't feel worthy to live in the same town as the Philistine king, Gath. And so he humbles himself before the king. And verse 6, then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertains to the kings of Judah to this day. And the time that David dwelled in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. Actually, David stayed there until Saul was dead, and it was safe for him to return home. You know, he has endured the worst part of this storm, but it's not over yet. And he's not living in caves anymore, but he still isn't king, and he isn't home neither. sometimes God's blessings come to his people in stages, and we should not be discouraged if we don't get everything that we've been praying for immediately. Verse 8, and David said, and David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gizites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land as you go to Shur, even to the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. These unrepenting sinners that David wiped out were supposed to have been wiped out long ago, but Saul disobeyed and he didn't do it. So David is cleaning up Saul's mess, as it were. You say, well, why were they supposed to be wiped out? Because their moral rot was disgusting to God. David got rid of them, and that was the right thing to do. Their presence in that area was a constant moral danger to God's people, and that made it the right thing to do as well. Verse 10, and Achish said, where have you made a road today? In other words, where have you made a raid today? And David said, against the south of Judah and against the south of Jerahmeelites and against the south of the Kenites. The king thought David was attacking his own people in Israel, but he was not. He was attacking the enemies of his people who were living within their borders. So in the process, David was also becoming a national hero. The king of Gath didn't know that. You know, we don't have to tell everyone everything about everything. Sometimes the plan of God moves forward better when we keep our mouths shut. 11, and David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will he this be this manner all the while he dwells in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, he has made his people Israel utterly to abhor him, before he shall be my servant forever. Therefore, he shall be my servant forever. The king came to the conclusion that David hoped he would come to. He thought, you know, Israel doesn't want David anymore, so he's going to be my servant forever. Lesson right here. Do not think you understand a situation just because on the surface it appears to be that way. It is important to investigate and to know the certainty of a matter when there is a lot at stake. Chapter 28. We just get our foot in the door. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, know assuredly that you shall go out with me to battle, you and your men. Now, Achish the king had given David and his men a place to live, and he had been good to him. He'd been good to David. And he expects something in return. He expects David and his men to volunteer to be in his army. And they're about to go to war against Israel, which is really interesting. We're going to see what happens next time.